This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
The Lucy Porter Show on FUBAR Radio.
Hey, good evening. Lucy Porter indeed here with my show Celebrating Women for 2 hours. And I have a fabulous woman today. I've got the wonderful Lucy Trodd, a fellow Lucy. I've also got some ideas about why it's brilliant to be a woman. We're going to talk a little bit about Madonna, and we're going to have a brilliant album of the week. So far we've had Hole, and then last week we had Dusty Springfield. And this week it's Janet Jackson's Control. Let's hear a track. There she goes, Janet Jackson. That's 1986. We had a record of the week from the 90s. We had one from the 60s. We've gone to the 80s. Now, I know you may be thinking, you're listening to that going, yeah, it's all right. It's just, you know, it's kind of just R&B and whatever. Massively important album, Control by Janet Jackson. It was her third album, and she had sacked her dad as her manager, because her dad was her manager before that, which always, whenever people have their dads as their manager, I always just picture my dad being my manager, an elderly Irishman, just going, no, Lucy, what are you doing? It would be a very interesting career move for me to take my dad on as my manager. So the title of the album, Control, very apt, because it was Janet, after doing two sort of fairly saccharine poppy albums, she decided to do something where she was in control, although her producers were Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were amazing. And so she wanted to do something a bit more hard-edged, and we will be hearing more from that album throughout the show, but it was very important. In 1986, when I was a tiny child, I remember hearing that and thinking, wow, this is the music of the future. It's incredible. Now, in the studio with me today, I am delighted to say that I have the wonderful Lucy Trodd, who is an actress, playwright, improviser, part of the very esteemed and successful Showstoppers improvising troupe, and also one half of Trodd and Bratt, who have their own show on Radio 4, which is about to you're about to record the second series.
We are. You've done your research.
I know. I've been following you for some time. But you know what it is, actually?
And is it because I'm a Lucy?
I know that I have no credit for your many achievements. You know, I know that it's not down to me, but there's a little part of my brain that goes, yeah, it's another Lucy. You see, she's in the Lucy Club. We're all doing well in the Lucy Club.
There are so many famous Lucys,
as we will
find out.
There are. Well, I have this thing where other Lucys I always pay attention to. Also other subgroups that I'm a member of. So short people.
Right, people
from
tall people.
You're very much the opposite, yeah. So yes. Tall people probably float your boat. People from Croydon.
Luton,
you see. Yeah, right. But also there are sort of, because there are some groups I'm in that I'm not bothered about, like, you know, people from London, or I'm like, they're from London, don't matter, you know, all the South generally, not interested. But there are groups that I'm not a member of that I also have an affection for. I don't know if you have this. Yeah. Scottish people, I'm not Scottish, I have no Scottish in me at all. But whenever Scottish people do well, that gladdens my heart.
Yeah.
And also child stars. I wasn't a child star. But I always think they are. It's so hard for child stars. So when one of them does well.
It's never too late.
I know. I have two children I'm working on.
I have the same with Scandinavian people, because my surname is vaguely Norwegian, I think, yeah.
Because it's got a double letter in it.
Yeah, and I even sometimes tell people that it's Trodd. It's not, it's just Trodd.
Because Trodd en Bratt.
It's on. It's a terrible... We regret the name of our double act. Trodd en Bratt, like salmon en croûte.
It was
a hilarious joke at the time that we just didn't get rid of.
No,
so every time we get announced on stage, it's Trodd en Bratt or something.
Which sounds vaguely Scandinavian, making your dreams come true.
Exactly.
So that's fine.
Can I just say a quick hello to my son Albert?
Yes, Albert.
Because I think he's listening, and then he can have a little smile and go to bed now, okay?
Night, night, Albert.
Good night, Albert.
Sleep well. Mummy's out in a studio with another lady called Lucy. Enjoy that.
See you in dreamland. That's what we say.
Go to bed, mummy needs wine. That's what we say. No, in fact, I have no idea whether my children are in bed or not, or whether they're listening, or what, they're probably running around feral in the garden. Who knows? And frankly, do we care?
It's character building.
It's good for them. It is good for them. I have been doing some research about famous Lucys.
Yes, as have I.
So I went to famousbirthdays.com. And I thought, I'll just have a look at the list of Lucy's. And I, you know, and I was like, I'm sure. I mean, not that I'll be on it. Or I mean, you know. I mean, I'm not. No, neither are you. We are not even. I looked sort of top 10. I was like, okay.
Which
top
is a 20. Bit unfortunate because there's really not that many.
I know. Some of the people who are on the list, quite they're frankly, really like you and I rights. Have our own Wikipedia pages. Oh, some of these people
do.
You do. Yeah, I looked you up. Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know who does my Wikipedia page. You know, there's been all this stuff about Grant Shapps, you know, possibly editing his own Wikipedia page. It would never occur to me. I wouldn't know how to do it for a start, but it would never occur to me to do that. But somebody obviously does. And it's such a... I mean, it might be my agent, I suppose. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Mm. Otherwise, I've got a fan who is committed enough to
you
actually...
You have to be clever with your... third person usage, don't you? Lucy
yes.
is
the stunning and talented Lucy Porter, to whom I am in no way connected. But yeah, so shall I give you my list of famous Lucy's? Because do you know, and
when you get
said,
to my favourite one, I'm going to add in a little fact that I like.
Oh, brilliant! Again. Okay, well, if I get to your favourite,
well, I imagine you will.
We may be on different lists. Yeah, because I say, oh, I'm all about Lucy's. I love it when Lucy's are famous. Actually, a lot of these I hadn't heard of. Lucy Hale is number one.
Right,
young person's Lucy.
Right,
she's in a thing, I've forgotten, it's like a teen series in America called something like Secrets of Teenagers. Oh, OMG, it's amazing. I don't know what it's called. I don't know. Anyway, she's very famous, and fair enough, she's number one. Lucy Liu
of
Charlie's
was,
Angels,
it's she set. Was top of my list.
Yeah, got her, that's fine. Lucy Fry,
no.
I didn't know. Maybe Australian? I can't remember. Anyway, Lucy Pinder... Now, Lucy Pinder, I have on more than one occasion been not mistaken for her physically because
is
we are very
different.
Is that
dodgy app about meeting up with people?
Pinder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it called that?
She is the patron saint of her own. Well, yeah, Lucy Pinder is a glamour model.
Oh,
And you know she's massive, like not you know, she's a very well known and respected glamour model, and because I'm Lucy Porter, she's Lucy Pinder. Occasionally, people have said, "Oh, yeah, you're that Lucy Pinder, aren't you?" And I have to gently disabuse them of that notion. And I did once get a courier delivered a mobile phone to my home, and it had been addressed to Lucy Pinder, and the poor courier, like I opened the door, and you know when someone's face balls, like in a way that they just can't disguise.
No.
And I kind of, and I said, oh, you know, and he handed over the phone and I saw and I said, oh, Lucy Pinder. And I said, oh, did you think it was going to be Lucy Pinder? And he said, yeah, I told all my mates. And obviously Lucy Porter of occasionally being on Radio 4 and star of her own FUBAR radio show. Not enough for him. Didn't ask for the selfie that he would otherwise doubtless have got. So, yeah, Lucy Pinder, I'm aware of. Lucy Lawless, Xena Warrior Princess. Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Lucy Watson, who's on Made in Chelsea, apparently.
Right.
Lucy Spraggan, singer. Lucy Pargeter, actor. Lucy Stone, I've forgotten who she is. Lucy Raw, Lucy Punch.
Lucy Stone, isn't that who you're talking about?
Oh, yes, it is.
Nothing
like setting up your own item. Yeah, later on I'll be talking about an amazing woman who's really inspired me and whose life I find fascinating. That's Lucy Stone, who I'd just forgotten who she was. Lucy Punch, regular actress. Lucy Griffiths, Lucy Sutcliffe, Lucy Kay, Lucy Maud Montgomery.
She was
Anna
on my
Greengate,
list.
Very good. And Lucy Mack Smith, who was the mother of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. So those are all my... Did I get to the one that
you
you're
didn't.
Interested in?
My top Lucy was Lucy Webb Hayes, who was a political wife of Rutherford B. Hayes. But she was responsible for starting the tradition of conducting an Easter egg roll on the White House lawn. And I thought that's a pretty cool,
yeah, cool.
claim
good,
to fame.
Good for her. Shall I tell you about Lucy Stone, who I'd forgotten about? She actually was an incredible woman. We talked about her, I think we may have talked about her even when we were talking about Anita Loos last week, because Lucy Stone, women in America used to be called Lucy Stoners if they opted to keep their maiden name when they were married, because she was one of the first women to do that, to insist that she retained her name when she got married. So she was sort of, you know, early feminist, also a slavery abolitionist, very prominent crusader for ending slavery. And this, there's a sort of anyway. Her autobiography is fascinating, and
so
I urge you.
Are you a Lucy
all.
Stoner?
I am a Lucy Stoner.
So am I.
Yes.
Well, part time. I'm
you occasionally, when it's convenient, you your husband say. I know.
When
I've
I'm
got
hiding.
One thing where I changed my name.
My Tesco's card.
Yeah. I know. It's well. I think it's just having another identity is fine. We're not, you know, surrendering our own identities. This is just a little bit of her biography that I really like. So she went to a college in Oberlin College, which was the first college to admit not only women but also African Americans. So a very forward-thinking college. But even that college was still a little bit backwards because Lucy Stone wanted to be a public speaker because she wanted to talk about women's rights and about the evils of slavery. And they wouldn't let her because at the college they said although women students could debate each other in their literary society, it was considered inappropriate for them to participate in oral exercises with men. Well, if you call them oral exercises, then yes, possibly. Women members of the collegiate rhetoric class were expected to learn by observing their male classmates. So Stone and first-year student Antoinette Brown, who also wanted to develop skill in public speaking, organised an off-campus women's debating club. After gaining a measure of competence, they sought and received permission to debate each other before Stone's rhetoric class. The debate attracted a large student audience as well as attention from the faculty board, which thereupon formally banned women's oral exercises in co-educational classes. There's something quite... It's like a dance-off or something where these two girls that were going, yeah, we're going to just practice our debating and then we're going to get up in front of the whole school and have a debate off. A bitch debate off. Lucy Stone, managed to get a debate with a man. She accepted a challenge from a former editor of a county newspaper to a public debate on women's rights, and she soundly defeated him. So, yeah, she was, a tough debating dance-off
she
queen. If I
rock.
Did the film, I would make it a sort of dance-off come debate. Just to give it a bit more of a glamorous edge.
I would buy a ticket for that. That's my guilty pleasure. Dance films. I love them.
I know. They are amazing, aren't they? Maybe we could have a dance-off at the end of this.
Let's do it.
I think physically that could be quite... How tall are you?
6'1".
And I'm not even 5 foot, 4'11", so that's going to be hilarious. We'll do that and we'll tweet that. On the subject of tweeting and stuff, I'm a little bit excited because we have listener feedback. Amanda, the producer, is thrilled.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am.
Yes, we have people who have been emailing, tweeting me furiously about various things. There is Charlie Folds. Hello, Charlie Folds, who emailed me. We were talking, Lucy T, last week we had Evelyn Mock, the lovely Swedish comedian.
Very funny.
And I was saying, what a paradise I've always thought Sweden, as you,
yes,
lovely Scandinavians. But I've always thought, Sweden for lefties, for feminists. You go, oh, it's
furniture design.
Exactly. All the good things.
Air quality.
Fish. Pickled fish. I'm very big on that. Anyway,
good hair.
Charlie Folds emailed me and said, dear Lucy, if you love Sweden so much, why don't you just bloody well go and live there? Right, which I thought was quite funny. And then he added, he added, P.S. and can I come with you, please? Which was nice.
Mixed messages there.
Yeah.
I know, I was worried and then suddenly I was delighted and then I was slightly worried again, going, why is a random stranger asking to come and live in Sweden with me? But it's fine. I'm not going. I'm sorry, Charlie. Another contribution to our list last week, we were talking about ways in which we have disappointed our mothers. And Helen emailed me to say, I disappointed my mother by calling my child Caractacus. Which pretty disappointing. We were all disappointed in you, Helen. And Dino had... Now, so he... and this is definitely a he, I'm in no doubt, because Dino... I was going to say it's a story I can't repeat, but I'll give you the bare bones of it. So Dino disappointed his mother by being discovered in his teens self-pleasuring using his sister's underwear that he had stolen and put on for the purposes. Which I shouldn't really have. I should have left that.
I hope
bit more
Dino's
vague.
Changed his name.
There's probably a lot of Dinos out there. And then the final little bit of audience interaction I was going to share with you was from Lyle, who harks right back to our first show with Tanya Edwards, where our record of the week was Live Through This by Hole, and who says, I was at the same Hole gig as you in Brighton. It was amazing. I mean, you know, no more than that, but that's enough. That will do. That will do for me. So thank you very much for those of you who've been in touch, and all the other people who've tweeted and stuff as well. Always very nice. Don't feel you have to get in touch. I always think now too much onus is placed on the listener slash viewer slash reader with the media these days. I am a passive consumer of media, and I am happy for it to stay that way. We like it if you get in touch. We'd be delighted if you do, but do not feel under any obligation to do so. So if you'd like to, please do. We do have a list that I came up with this today. I thought we will do a list and see if people want to contribute to this. And Lucy T, I know you have some ideas about this. This is the title of the list is Things That Are Unequivocally Better for Women. And the reason I was inspired to make this list was because I was talking to my husband about we went to a pub at the weekend, and we both went to the toilet, the lavatory, in the course of our afternoon at the pub. And I said, oh, God, the women's toilets are a bit ropey in here. And he said, you have not seen the men's toilets. And he had that slight sort of thousand-yard stare of someone who's seen things that he will never forget. A bit like Dino's mum when she came in to find him pleasuring himself with the sister's underwear. So, we were then reminiscing, because my husband and I, we enjoy these kind of discussions. We were talking about terrible toilets we have known. And when we were first courting, we went to a pub in Kentish Town, I think, in London, and Justin went to the toilet and again came back a bit distressed, and he said, oh God, just come and have a look, right? Come and have a look. And it was, because I'd been to the women's toilet in this pub.
Was this a first date?
It was at a time when I could still have backed away, Lucy, yes. But I chose
what
not to.
What was he expecting? Like, you would put down your cloak for him to step
come
over.
Come and see. But it was fascinating because it was like what I would imagine a prison toilet would look like during a riot. Like the sink was off. A lot of the porcelain was just all over the place, and there was, you know, it looked like there'd been a dirty protest in the cubicle.
Oh, I see.
And it was horrific. And since that day, I've always thought, you know, occasionally as a stand-up comedian, you do get to see, you know, the glamorous backstage areas, and you also get to see the difference between men's and women's toilets sometimes because you're in venues. And I've made it a little bit of a study of, you know, sort of life's work. And it is absolutely true that men's toilets are unbelievably worse than women's. Except one exception, the Philharmonic pub in Liverpool, where the men's toilet has a sort of marble urinal that is to die for. Absolutely stunning. But other than that, always, I think, as a woman, you get a better toilet experience. And because I had another email from someone saying, you know, isn't it about time you privileged Western women, Western feminists, started being thankful for what you've got and stopped complaining, right? And I don't know, it's not time we stopped complaining, but I thought I will take that on board, and I will compile this list of things that are unequivocally better for women. So I would say toilets in pubs, except the Philharmonic in Liverpool.
Well, it's a sort of trade-off, isn't it? The kind of long queue.
But
versus
once you
cleanliness.
Get there, yeah. I'd rather queue for something that resembles a toilet than be given immediate access to something.
When you're at a theatre or something where the men just glide in.
That is true, actually. I mean,
I don't know. I think I might take
the general toilet
the
issue. But also, the other benefit of being a woman is that you can more readily nip into the men's toilets if there's no one there, or even if there are people there. I think
you can't do that if you're
it's more frowned upon for a gentleman to do that.
Yeah.
So, toilet wise, there are issues on both sides. It's not a perfect world, but all I'm saying is I think we do slightly better.
And there's always the hover.
There is always the hover for a woman. But then, yeah, see, if you're a man and you're going into the cubicle, you're only there for one reason, aren't you? And then you don't really want to... Hovering and pooing is a difficult manoeuvre to pull off, really, I think. My son is toilet training at the moment, and he does some incredible... He prefers to go with... sits down, prefers to go with the seat up and sit on the bare porcelain. And sometimes does incredible feats of contortion. You know, it's a joy to behold. Anyway, toilets, that's number one on my list. And then Amanda, lovely producer Amanda, she came up with being able to go to a summer wedding in an outfit that isn't completely stifling.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a good one.
How many weddings have you been to? And you can wear a lovely little chiffon number, have a little throw to
a pashmina.
A little pashmina action
always
for the evening.
Pashmina.
And the guys are wearing these ridiculously hot three-piece
which you steal off them at the end of the night when you get cold.
Yeah.
yes, exactly. And you put things in the pockets of if you need extra
space. Or they
put
stuff in your bag, which can be slightly annoying. But, yeah, I think that's a really good thing about being a woman, is that you're not, for functions and whatever, for do's that you might have to be very, very smart at, you're not tied to this...
People have opinions about ties, don't they? Like, you can't take your tie off.
Yes. You might even be expected to wear a full morning suit with waistcoat, which is, my husband opted for that for our wedding, which I thought was, a foolish move. But
what time of year were you married, Lucy?
Well, no, we were married in December, so fair play. But yes, I think a summer wedding, you're absolutely right. Also, that led me to thinking as well about the cross-dressing options, and it is much easier to cross-dress as a woman, i.e. to assume male garments without fear of censure or ridicule or even a quizzical look. So I thought, well, that's actually that's quite good. Mm. We can wear gentlemen's clothing with impunity.
Yeah, that was one of the things that, because I put it on Facebook earlier, and just to sort of get the feel of the women out there.
Nice work.
And there was a big sort of thing of, even though we don't like wearing makeup, because we're feminists, makeup is quite a good thing when you need it.
When you're very tired.
And that you can wear what you like without anyone judging your sexual orientation or anything. I had a thing at the weekend when my son was playing with his little, he's four, he was playing with his friend who's five, and she went up to a tree and wanted to put blossom in her hair, and he did too, and then I clipped them in so they stayed there, and then they went their separate ways, and we were on the tube, and he said to me, "Everybody's looking at me, Mummy." And aww. I said, "They're just saying you look beautiful." But then a lady came up to him and said, "Flowers are for pretty girls,
no,
not pretty boys."
There are some utter
and I said, "You're wrong." And then
what?
We got off the tube. I was really, really shocked.
And it's absolutely none of her fucking business.
He looked so gorgeous. He looked so gorgeous.
You're allowed. I will allow a swear in that occasion, Amanda, because that is.
And she, I was
diabolical.
Really shocked by it.
I know.
And I thought that's such a shame because he just looked like springtime.
Yes, I know. And what is wrong with a man wanting to look beautiful?
No. And I think, letting your bits go under a skirt's probably quite nice, isn't it? For kilts and all that.
Yeah, I know. I do think more freedom of clothing would be a great thing for, and I think most men feel that way. I mean, the only downside is
festivals are great because everyone suddenly starts wearing wings and makeup, and there's no judges there. It's just we're just having a great time.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you get back on the train, it's, "Why are you dressed like that?"
Yeah. What a horrible woman! I can't believe that
I
somebody
really
would actually
shocked.
Come up and say something like that to anybody, let alone a little person.
We were sort of getting off at Dalston to get some ice cream, and I was really shocked by it.
Well, there was a woman who came up to me when my daughter was little and said, "I've noticed your daughter doesn't wear much pink. She will turn out to be a lesbian." Which, again, in the you just go, A, that's fine by me, and B, what is going on in your brain? Because you're a freak.
It's quite a sad moment, though, when your son comes home and says, "I don't wear pink anymore, Mummy."
Yeah.
And he loved pink, and he had a pink potty, and he had a princess dress. And,
My nephew loves a handbag and lip gloss.
He loves it.
And
how old?
He's seven now, but he will still have his. He's got a shoulder bag, and he's got a lip balm in it, and he likes to.
Yeah.
I suppose all you want is for your child to be themselves and to find themselves. So I guess the only worry is that you're making them be too liberal, that they're becoming something they're not, that you just want them to be comfortable with all their choices.
Well, it is, there are horrible people in the world. Do you, do you equip them for the world that we have or for the one that we wish existed? It's a very difficult thing to parent in general. But also, I mean, I do think we're turning this into why we feel sorry for men. Do you realise what we've done here?
So what was the title?
Why are women a bitches? I can't remember what they it's why things are unequivocally better for women. Because I do think, that we have a lot more freedom in that respect. But having said that, it's men can get a laugh by dressing up as a woman in a way that you can't. Mm. Like, Vesta Tilly was the last really successful female-to-male impersonator, as far as I can recall. Well, there aren't really any in popular culture. French and Saunders were very good when they did...
They did the big guy.
They did a few different male impersonators. Yeah. In fact, I suppose character comics do kind of do it. Anyway, but that's, I think...
We play quite a few male...
Yes, of course, there you go.
But, we don't dress up anymore, but...
Maybe on the radio.
Maybe with a yeah.
Be too much of an effort, really.
We don't need to.
We were saying we haven't even bothered to put makeup on for this. We are.
I'm having a wine flush.
Don't tell them we've been drinking already.
Oh, from earlier. From
this
breakfast.
Afternoon. Yes, we're broadcasting under the influence. But that's fine.
Other things that people said were cool about being a woman: giving birth, growing a human.
Pretty
good skill
pretty cool.
to add to your CV.
That is pretty cool. It hurts a bit though.
It does.
There are downsides to that, but fair enough. Yeah, the overall fact of being able to do it is pretty cool.
A lot of people said multitasking, which is quite a cliche.
We're getting into the problem with this list is what we don't want to get into is the realm of what are women better at than men, because you know, then you are into why women can't read maps and men are pricks or whatever, you know, that sort of territory. Yeah. We don't. It's more the trivial. It's just toilets. Like, I hadn't really thought it through
it's
much further
and
than
being
toilets.
Able to wear a dress at a wedding.
A friend of mine who's a dancer said that women have a natural ability to endure long distance sports, which might be an evolutionary thing, the same way that we might have better sense of smell because we used to gather the herbs and things like that.
Yeah. It's getting into that. Did you see Nigel Short, the chess champion, said this week that women are terrible at playing chess? And, you know, and it is that whole, are we wired differently? Is there a sort of evolutionary psychology advantages to having different skills? And it's, the problem is, I think, yes, there probably is, I mean, definitely that we have evolved differently in our sexes, but it just always feels like, well, it's not that helpful to talk about, is it really? Because it always ends up with men should shag loads of people and women are very good at nurturing. Which I've
well
know,
that was one of the things on the list. People were saying that women have better orgasms and
how
I'm like,
could
how
anyone know?
Do you know
exactly if only it were quantifiable.
Yeah,
and then cleaner toilets. You see, somebody else has gone for cleaner toilets. I see.
I think vaginas are probably a better design than penises.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. You know that? Who was it?
Well, certainly arousal is not a public event. Yeah. That's quite a good. An advantage.
I can't remember, somebody famous said, "Why do we say grow some balls when they're so sensitive and easily broken? Why not grow a vagina because it's much stronger?"
Yes.
That was supposed to have been Betty White, but she denied it.
Oh,
she
really?
She said that she never said it, which I'm really disappointed.
That is disappointing.
Because I really loved to think of her saying that.
We will be doing a feature later on about quotations by famous women. So you've done there is you've set up,
nice.
You've teed up
segway.
An item that we're going to do later, Amanda.
Oh, it's an item that I didn't even know we were going to do.
Well,
so
there you go,
I,
you see. It's the psychic link we've developed over the past few weeks. Yes, well, if anyone would, and as I say, there is absolutely no pressure, but if anyone would like to contribute to that list of things that are unequivocally better for women, maybe Dino could get back in touch.
Yes, please.
When I was doing my research about Luton, where I was born, it's a very famous area for the straw hat industry, and it was always seen as women's work, and it was well paid, and it was Luton, the place where the women wear the trousers, because their hands were supposed to be finer to do all the sewing and stuff. So I don't know. I mean,
so that's in your blood.
That's in my blood.
That's
I've got
the evolutionary
massive,
advantage.
Massive
you have.
Hands. If I had a penis, it would be very.
Well,
big.
let's think about your penis as we we play. Well, in fact, we'll get you to do some wicker work during the fashion me a boater if you would.
Yeah.
During the next song, what song should we have next, Amanda?
Well, we can either have something from the album of the week, or we can have our lovely guest Lucy's choice.
Lucy T, shall we have your song?
Yeah,
I really love your song. I really love it.
Well. When I was trying to decide, I thought, well, pre-teenager, I just used to listen to the Carpenters and folk music that my parents' albums I used to play. And my sister was really into chart music, and I just was not that cool. I think I bought the Kylie album to try and sort of be cool and, you know, hits number one or whatever it was back then. But recently I went to see the musical Beautiful, which is on at the Aldwych Theatre, beautifulmusical.co.uk, and it's all about Carole King and her her life. I think it's in the Brill building where they had a song factory. Mm-hmm. And I just love the album Tapestry from 1972, I think. I think pretty much any song on that is a hit. And this is called Beautiful. So enjoy.
Show on FUBAR Radio.
That beautiful Carol King song, then crashed into at the end by the man who does that. That thing is called Ali, the Sting, as they call it, and he apparently works here at FUBAR. And I'm going to try and track him down and see how he talks normally. Lucy Porter. Good, but yeah, that's such a beautiful song.
It made my
beautiful.
Dad whoop when we went to see it, which is not something he does.
Do you know, I would absolutely adore. I must go and see that musical because it's everything I like. Because Carole King, amazingly cool songwriter for. In fact, because Dusty Springfield, who we had as our record of the week last week, yeah. I think she wrote for Dusty. She wrote for everybody.
A lot of people have covered her. Yeah, I think Barbara Streisand and. Yeah,
didn't she also, she went out with, before she was, so she was married to Jerry Goffin and they had their amazing songwriting partnership, but I think, did she not go out with Neil Sedaka?
She definitely wrote for him. Yeah, I think they might have.
I think
O'Carroll
was about her. Yeah. And yeah, amazing talent. And just, what I love about that song is it is so, so positive. It is one of those, if you are feeling like crap in the morning.
Yeah, in the musical it comes at the point when she's just sort of splitting up from her husband, I think. Mm. So it's just her sort of saying to herself, you've got to keep going and
yes,
there's
I know.
Life beyond.
It's one of those songs I can imagine actually screaming at myself in the mirror having had a bottle of gin.
You've got to get up
and put a smile on your face. Which is most songs I can imagine.
Oh, I also chose that because my mum used to say to me, the best thing you can wear is a smile. I think that when every day when I think, oh, I just put on this, I just wear something that doesn't look awful. And I think, no, just wear that smile.
As long as you're smiling. I know, but you're leading us in there to a story that this is seamless, this show. It's like being
heavily
on Radio
scripted.
2. I was going to talk about, we used to talk a bit about news stories, and there was a story today which was the front of the Metro. I happened to be on the tube train in London town. And on the front of the Metro, there was a story about Jamelia, who apparently was on Loose Women. Jamelia, who's the singer,
yes.
But she's on Loose Women as well. And like,
have you done Loose Women?
I have, a couple of times, I think. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable experience. Because the audience for Loose Women is a load of women having a blooming brilliant time.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. Because I knew the guy who was doing the warm-up for the studio audience. And and they all love him. And so I kind of went on and was like, oh, hi, Andrew, how you doing? Woo. And so then they sort of liked me because I was a friend of his. And I think he gets quite a lot of women slipping notes into his pocket because they're all giddy. They're all down London having
a
day.
That's a real skill, actually, being a warm-up.
Yes. Done that, it's hard. Anyway, never did it for Loose Women, but
because you have to be ready to drop your set any second.
Yeah. And the stage manager, you and the stage manager kind of develop a love-hate relationship where you sort of see him coming. I've done it for a few things. I used to do Mitchell & Webb's sketch show. I used to do the warm-up for that, and it was great. But yeah, the poor stage manager, because you can see him coming in, you're like, I'm finishing this, I don't even care. And you're sort of both, I'm trying to run away from him.
Yeah, you're
on
the audience's side, aren't you? Just sort of.
Yeah, and they just want to get the show done, God bless them. But, but Jamelia was on Loose Women, and she said something about they shouldn't sell plus size clothes or very small size clothes in mainstream clothes shops because it encourages people to think that it's normal to be that size. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she said below a 6 and above a 20.
Yeah. And controversy a go-go, widdly-widdly-woo, for what it's worth, I think it's a foolish, I would say it's, let's not make people feel any worse about themselves.
Exactly.
Because we have a hard time anyway. But what I thought was sort of more interesting about it, really, was the kind of controversy or offence. Amanda's brought us some water. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you. People...
How are we too ready to take offence, for a start? Not just women, but people in general. And I have no real conclusion to this, but I was thinking about the offence that's been taken recently. So an awful woman said a thing about immigration that we, again, won't dwell on the actual thing. But I sort of thought with her, well, she's a professional offence giver, and that's kind of her thing, is that she is asked for her opinion, and because, you know, if you're going to sell your opinion has to be different to everybody else's to make money, I would imagine. You know, yeah. That's how it works. Whereas Jamelia, I sort of think, well, she's just kind of, you know, she's just talking off the top of her head on the TV show. And I think it's just that I feel I like her a bit more than the other woman who has been in the news.
Oh, so, interesting.
You know, I'm taking offence at the person.
I thought it was interesting that she apologised but stood by her remarks. Like, so why apologise?
Yeah, that's a very modern thing.
So you're apologising
well,
for what? Because you feel like you should, because you've upset people.
Well, it's, yeah, I apologise if I've given any offence, but I stand
but
by
I
what
still
I say.
Mean
so
it.
It's not really an apology.
It's like the teacher told me to say sorry, yeah, so
well,
I am.
Well, like children always, yeah, you know, when yeah, you have to say it and say it like you mean it.
Yes.
Now, say sorry.
Look me in the eye.
And what are you going to do next time to be different? But it's for me right now, in this situation, I think most people quite rightly would identify with the offended parties and would go, how would I feel if someone said that about me? I, because of my life and my work, tend to think about, oh my God, what if I was the person who said that thing? And is then, because I have, we referred in a previous show, Lucy, to a time where I slagged off Formula One and offended Leo Sayer, the popular music singer. And, you know, so I have unwittingly said things that have provoked controversy, not to being on the front of the Metro degrees. But I absolutely hate it. And I just feel like, because you don't really know. It's like, well, I think I believe in what I say, but I kind of was just busking it. And so I am now very wary. Admittedly, you know, this show, we're always walking a fine line, because I always feel like I could at any minute say something ridiculous. But I know I'm doing it because I'm ill-informed and hasty.
Yeah.
Rather than
seeking
to be
controversial. Are you one of these people that has an opinion and then somebody tells you the other side and you think, oh, yeah, I get that too. Maybe you're right.
Yes, actually, say that, Lucy. Yes, I am.
I suffer from a sort of sitting on the fence syndrome where I can just see everyone's point of view and therefore I lack opinions, which is probably why I'm a rubbish guest to have.
No, well, this is why this show is almost guaranteed not to cause any controversy, because if we do, we'll kind of
I think, well, I've got a bit of experience of plus size. When I was, you know, just out of university and trying to make some money, I looked into doing modelling because I'm tall and people said do that. And because I was at the time I was a size 12, which was, looking back, I was emaciated because I've got big bones.
You were very tall.
It was a sort of regular agency and they said to me, you know, you've got to trim down a bit. And I remember thinking, I just don't think there's anything left.
No, and I look
back at the pictures and I look really ill. And then I did sort of a bit of plus side modelling, which I was a bit rubbish at too. But I've sort of looked at what it is to be plus size. And I think it's just a matter of how you present that opinion. I think it's okay to say, I think that people should will benefit from living healthier lifestyles.
Yes.
And here are some ways you can do that. You know, I after having a baby, I'd carried around an extra 2 stone, which I just couldn't shift. And I just sort of at one point put a picture of me on Facebook saying, can someone help? Because I have no way of losing this. And a friend of mine said, have you tried this paleo diet? And then I did that and I lost the 2 stone within about, healthily, over a year.
Yeah,
so it's... I think, you know, we can be sensitive, but it's just the way you present the information. If she'd said, I really recommend this diet, that's you're saying the same thing. You're saying we should lose weight, but you're also saying we shouldn't be too thin. You know, it's just how do you present that information?
Well, do you know what?
There are kinder ways of saying
me,
it.
What heartened me, though, was I was reading a study which said, actually, the medical evidence seems to be coming out that actually being a bit overweight is not bad for you, in fact might possibly be quite good for you, which, given that I see, when I had my children some years ago now and have not been able to lose the baby weight, I have decided to learn to love that weight and you know, just I slightly can't be bothered. And I similarly, I've been, I look back at pictures of myself and I have been every dress size. I have been I was a 6 once, I was, because I'm only little, so being a 6 is not that much of a big deal. But yes, 6 to 14, I've done all of those sizes.
Yeah, I've never, like, 12 is the smallest I could go if I just didn't eat.
Yeah.
I used to do like 5 dance classes a week. And
I know, but then you were probably, you were sort of
I
healthy.
I looked awful.
And, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's, yeah, I think you know when you're healthy, you know when
so
you're
when
not.
So when someone says it's above a size 20 and you're 6'1", that, you know, for me is not that much bigger than me.
No, and I don't think
it's
going to help.
It's relative, isn't it? If you feel happy and healthy, then fine. But to be banned, that sounds like you're going to sort of get a law going. Stay yes. at home, tiny and big people.
See, I go to Zara, which is one of my very favourite shops. And I'm large in Zara, and I think, well, I've got.
Yeah,
no,
they're
not.
Got, they don't go
yeah,
up to my size.
I don't size. Think most
Zara,
shops don't.
Zara, Topshop, they have sort of banned. Yeah,
there's but already I mean, that
who
is kind it? Of
some of them
place.
Have been having slightly, you know, size 14, 16 model. You know, the mannequins.
Oh yeah, because there's
can't remember who.
Well, there's
maybe
regularly
it's in
a controversy about. Yeah, because actually H&M wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, it could be.
Because there's regular controversy about mannequins that are too thin. And then mannequin. But it does feel like this whole issue is kind of just masking a lot of other things about, you know, fat shaming women and, you know, and about anxiety about
that,
what the media
do. It's a funny thing. When you see clothes on a thinner model, like if you're selling anything on eBay, you peg it back at the back. You know, if you go on ASOS or whatever and you see the larger models, like, I don't know. It's
well because we're not used to it.
We're not used
so
to seeing
weird,
it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like if you're buying into that, how we imagine we look, you yeah. know, thing.
I think we should just put all clothes on hangers.
Yeah.
There should be no. Let's just do away with models. There we go. That's my controversial
yeah.
statement.
They're a bit spooky, to be honest. I quite often go, oh, who's
yeah, yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a headless tiny mannequin.
The worst ones are Marks and Spencer's children's mannequins that look like scary ghost children from Doctor Who. They are.
They've got
really,
that stocking face.
Yeah,
thing,
just like, nothing. There's no. Just blank faces, and you do like I have nightmares of being
maybe that's what
in
we
Marks
should be campaigning against, like make some happy happy
yes,
mannequins.
Yes, yes, happy mannequins of all sizes would be great. But yeah, I do. The other thing that sort of for us, Lucy T, was
maybe
relevant
we should go
about
shopping
this story.
Together. I find it much better to go with someone completely different.
Yeah, yeah. Although I go shopping with my friend Nikki sometimes, and she always persuades me to buy things that I would never buy. And she says, "Oh my god, you look amazing in that, and it looks great." And you know, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's brilliant," because she's there with me in the changing room, and I'm like, "This looks amazing." And then all of those items sit. I've got a turquoise skirt. Which I know it looked nice when I tried it on, but every time I put it on, I go, oh, no, oh, I don't think so. But the part of the story that quite interested me from our point of view is that, so Jamelia said this on Loose Women, and then Jamila Jamil, who is the Radio 1 DJ who has a name that sounds a bit like her, has been getting loads of abuse from
oh,
everyone.
No.
And it just, what in a way, it's a slight get out, is if you are going to say something controversial or difficult, just make sure you have a name that can be confused yeah. with somebody else.
If anyone
now on
doesn't
Lucy...
like anything that Lucy Trudd is saying, it was yeah. Lucy Porter.
That one is, we are both Lucy Lou,
yeah.
If you need.
Do you get that?
To...
What shortenings do you get?
Yeah, Lou. Well, Luce, which my dad hated.
Lulu.
My dad used to hate
Lucy.
It when people found out and say, oh, is Luce there? He'd be like, her name is Lucy. Not
have
Luce.
You got a middle
Luce,
name?
My name
do you
Luce
get...
by nature. Donna. Yeah.
Donna?
Donna.
Unusual.
You have to say that, Donna.
Donna.
Lucy Donna. Kebab, yeah, which
Donna just
call
means
me kebab.
Woman, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful Italian yeah. name, but to anyone in Croydon in the 1980s and 90s, it meant that yeah. I was called after a kebab. So, yeah, what else? What, Goosey Lucy, Juicy Lucy.
Yeah, Lucifer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lala, which I quite like.
Lulu, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're
not
all fine.
Many. It's pretty short anyway, isn't it?
Anyway, Jamelia.
So we don't dislike her... Or we're holding out, the jury's out.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is whenever anyone says anything that they are then hauled over the coals for, I kind of go, oh, God, they probably didn't mean it. They probably didn't, you know, they were just saying something just to fill the time. Because it's the danger, isn't it? Is there is just too much time to fill. And people like us, you know, gamely, on your behalf, ladies and gentlemen of Britain, we talk crap.
Well,
and,
like I was just saying just then, I was sort of like, oh no, I'm going down a road of saying that I wouldn't buy clothes on a big model.
Yes.
I didn't actually say it, you talked me out of it, but then I've just said
Lucy
it
Trodd says all models should be thin.
I know.
Let's agree that we believe that Carole King was right.
Yeah.
that a smile
did
is
you, it's interesting though, that self-image thing. Did you watch that one of those sort of programs where they get people on and they have a body image shape and the true one is there somewhere and you have to say which one you think you are?
Really, yeah.
And a lot of people chose much bigger, and even in young girls as well. And I guess
I have the opposite problem. I do I think because I've been all different sizes, so I've just picked one that I am in my head. That's the size that I am and will always be. And then I do sometimes, I go to yoga and I shock myself in the mirror sometimes. I go, oh, who's that? Oh, it's me. Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that was my body shape, but hey-ho. But also there was another study where they showed women, it was sort of women who were... Tell you what, I'm going to research that and come back to it.
Okay. Because
what I was about to do there was the classic thing of just saying something based on a tiny shred of something I half remember. And that is when you get into Jamelia territory,
yes,
where you say things that you shouldn't. So there we go. Amanda, should we have a record?
Yeah, we'll have one from the album of the week.
Oh, yep. From Janet Jackson. Which one is this going to be now?
I think we'll have Control, since we've been talking about controlling
control.
What we wear.
Oh, this is unbelievably
what comes out of our
slick. Yes,
here we go.
We're out of control.
Here we go.
Brilliant.
Isn't it? It's so 80s, it's untrue.
I recommend watching some of the videos, if only for their introductions, which are like little playlets in themselves.
Oh,
a minute and a half before the song begins, and it's all... Yeah, Dad's not talking to me anymore. Let's go to the movie, the picture house, and stuff like that.
Yeah, like a Brothers Thriller video, you know.
Yeah.
They made an effort back in those days for MTV.
She's so
didn't they?
Beautiful. Mm. I know it's not about that, but I think she gets really overlooked.
Well, it was, you know, at the time, and you are luckily for you too young to remember this. But
I was born in 79.
So,
if
yeah,
you
so
know.
You would have been a tiny babe in arms, and I was not much more than a tiny babe in arms. But it was like Madonna.
That was a pretty massive baby in arms, to be fair.
A babe in tired arms. It was an amazing time, sort of like now where. There are a lot of very successful female artists that are doing their own thing. It was like, it felt like that. There was a real sense that we've got Madonna, we've got Janet Jackson, and then, you know, people like Whitney Houston came along. And and some of the lyrics on the, because, you know, that one, it's all about being in control. And there's one called Nasty, which is all about Nasty Boys.
That's the one where they go to the cinema.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, we'll have to have a look at
that. It's great acting.
And then there's Let's Wait a While.
80s acting.
Which is a bit sort of more
saccharine. That's the other one I liked. Yeah.
It's lovely.
I love the saccharine one.
That's the power ballad.
Well, they're sort
the
of dance tracks, aren't they? If you look at the, you know, the videos, it's all her kind of dance moves, which are quite... They are very, like Michael Jackson, but a bit softer and a bit sort of...
Yeah. You just did a brilliant head flick.
Did I?
That was such a good head flick. I wish we were on television.
Works for the fringe.
Yeah, have your fringe cut to accentuate your head flicks. But yeah, it's a. It's not an easy listen because
why
I
did you
does.
Choose it? Why did you choose this?
Well, do you know, I chose it because I suddenly remembered how important it had been at the time, and I really haven't listened to it since. And I thought, well, it'd be interesting to revisit that. And to think about the 1980s.
There's not big sing-along choruses like there are in some...
Let's wait a while.
That one
is quite singy-alongy. But which also seems to be about sexual abstinence. I'm not really sure. but yes, the album's second single, Nasty, has been credited with influencing the new jack swing genre. Do you remember New Jack Swing?
Ooh,
no, nobody does.
No.
But it influenced that. but it's actually, again, it's one of those albums that at the time people sort of thought, oh, it's just Janet, one of the Jacksons. And then it became this huge, like the first kind of R&B rap crossover album. And also, Janet Jackson, it marked an incredible departure. She was best known as a television actress. She was initially reluctant to begin a recording career. She said, I was just coming off of a TV show that I absolutely hated doing, and that TV show was Fame.
She hated
being in Fame. Yeah, I didn't remember who she was in Fame.
I don't remember her from Fame, and I was an avid viewer of Fame.
Do you remember Janet Jackson in Fame? She was Janet Jackson, that was who she was. She didn't want to do her first record. She wanted to go to college, but she did it for her father. And, and had terrible times and terrible tempestuous times. Also, she was having a terrible emotional life. She'd been married to one of DeBarge, who were another. yes, you remember DeBarge?
Yeah, yeah. There was just a boy the name, band. DeBarge.
DeBarge. And she was married to a DeBarge, James DeBarge, I think one of the DeBarges, anyway. And that had all gone horribly wrong. So actually, I think musically, it was, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were in control a bit, but lyrically, she definitely put her heart and soul into this record, and I think it was important to her. So therefore, it's important to me. Now, talking of fantastic women doing amazing things, Lucy T, Lucy Trod, you have brought us a fantastic woman to talk about.
Yeah, I had an email from Amanda saying, you know, would you like to talk about an awesome woman? And I thought, who would that be? And I've been doing some research lately for a play I'm writing about, kind of in short, about motherhood, which everyone does when they have a baby.
It's good to get it out there.
You've got to get it out.
If nothing else, it's cathartic,
And I recently was brought to the attention of Sheila Kitzinger, who The Guardian called the High Priestess of Natural Childbirth. Yeah. She died on the 11th of April, so not long ago.
I know, you've discovered her just as she dies.
It's a bit like Queen for me. Queen, the pop group. When Freddie Mercury died, suddenly they were playing all the videos on the telly, and I thought, these guys are great. Why did I never know about them? They're just... You know, I was just a bit too young for them at the time. So Sheila Kitzinger is a bit
like... your Freddie Mercury.
It's my Freddie Mercury.
Your new Freddie Mercury.
She died at the age of 86. So she was really pro female choice.
Yep.
And against the medicalisation of childbirth. And, you know, that when you have a child, everyone's like, oh, you've got to have your birth plan. And that was all her. That was all the kind of... enjoying childbirth, having home births again, she said that she was even in sensual and sexual pleasure could be had from having a child. I think she had 5 children and
dirty cow. She loved it. It's true. The that whole natural midwifery, like she basically put midwives back at the center of the childbirth experience.
I think when I had my son, I really felt like a being, like a functioning being, like, you know, that your breasts work and your vagina works and all these things. You know, I've got super sensory smell power that, you know, I didn't know that could work so well. And
I mean, it is, yes, as we were discussing earlier, it's one of the cool things about being a woman, even though, I mean, it's, you know, I look back on my birth plan now with a slightly wry smile.
Yeah, it didn't
actually work out. In fact, if I do ever need a really good laugh, I just look at my birth plan and
she was into, you know, water births and meditation, all those things that you try and do, apparently.
Yes, even if you fail, at least you feel like you are in control of your own experience rather than being just shoved on a ward and pumped full of medication, which is good.
Exactly. But she was also, you know, the things that were the norm at the time before her first book came out were, you know, really nasty invasions and shaving and cutting. She was the first person at the time to say, hey, maybe there's another way. You know, it's just such a movement of she was a feminist. And I just love that there's a bit on her website about also how she died. She had cancer, but she refused sort of treatment in the end. She refused further investigations, but her wishes that when she died on the 12th of April, so the day after she died, none of this hanging around in a fridge, Lark. Her family carried her body in a brightly decorated cardboard coffin and took her to a natural burial site with a small private ceremony. And read some of her poems, because she wrote poems and, you know,
I bloody love an old hippie. I really do.
And sprigs of rosemary and camellia blossoms.
That's what I want. From
the garden. Just like how... Well, I guess what I love about her is that how in tune she encouraged people to be in birth and in death and in life. You know?
Can I tell you my Sheila Kitzinger story?
Yeah, do.
It's not. I didn't meet her.
Stop
or anything.
Reading.
I'm
just excited because I feel like I should know who she is. She seems so important, you know, to women and mothers.
Yes, and
I'd only heard about, you know, like Freddie
because she died.
Because she died.
She had to die to get you to pay attention to her. Well, the only reason, actually, that I was familiar with her from an early age was because when I was, now let's go back in time, about 16, I was going out with a lad who worked in a library. And he brought home from the library for me a book written by Sheila Kitzinger called something like A Woman's Introduction to Sex.
A Woman's Experience of Sex, 1983?
Yes, now. and so this boyfriend, who obviously was quite keen for me to explore my... I wasn't giving anything up at that time. I was like, no, it's not happening. But he said, oh, I think you should really read this book, because, you know... And I think he had designs that it would liberate me and free me up to do what he wanted. But actually, what it did was... completely revolutionised the way that I felt about my body. And it was like, you know, she was all about loving your vagina, being very happy with what God had given you and exploring it and having it basically on your own. Was the thing. It was like, have a look at what you've got, have a play around with it, see how it works. And, you know, and coming from a fairly repressive Catholic background, I'd really never sort of heard anyone say, look, that's fine, you know, just have a look and see what's going on. And so I was very keen on her book. And I, in order to disguise it from my parents, I put it in the cover of another book, which
was it Lady Chatterley's Lover?
Yes. Unfortunately, my mum was really into anal, so who didn't know? Sorry, if any mum, no. But no, what happened was I put it into, I remember what book it was. It was Greil Marcus's book, Lipstick Traces, which was a book sort of about punk rock and also about sort of culture in the 20s.
Now that sounds a bit more...
Which sounds, you know, and I, to worse. This day, do not know why my mum would have picked up that book and decided to have a look at it, but she did.
She did
at one point, and an embarrassing conversation ensued where we had to talk about sexual pleasure. And my mum was really cool, and she was like, yeah, you know, sex is actually amazing, it can give you so much joy. And I was like, I really don't want to hear this. This is terrible.
Yeah. But not for you, mum, right?
No, exactly. You've never done it, have you, mum? We're adopted. Please tell me. But yes, and so I, for that reason, have always felt a debt of gratitude to Sheila and her early awakening of my interest in my own vagina. A love affair that has never dwindled.
In 1958, she joined the advisory board of the newly formed Natural Childbirth Trust, NCT, renamed the National Childbirth Trust, which I thought was quite interesting. Natural, renamed into National. That seems like anti what she was trying.
Yes, exactly.
Trying to sound like National Trust.
Yes.
Versus Natural.
Natural.
But that's what she did.
She's amazing. Well, and the National Childbirth Trust is, you know, still very big. I never went to an NCT. NCT classes, for those uninitiated, are the thing that you go to before you have a baby, and they tell you all the horror.
Antenatal, yeah.
Antenatal classes, yeah.
But you do... I went to it, and you have to pay for it as well. So... You know, but it's like buying some mum friends.
Yeah. Well,
I'm still friends with them now. I do actually really recommend it, and they have great nearly new sales if you're into that.
And if you do want to hear anything about natural childbirth, Lucy Trott will be available after
the show. I'm trying to find the bit. She also did...
Or if you want to know anything about dirty self-pleasuring, then I will be happy to answer any
half,
of your questions. I've
facts.
Still got it, actually, at my mum and dad's. I still have the book in the fake cover.
There's going to be a hell of a fine on that one.
That should be in the museum.
But you know, though, at the time, because my then boyfriend was working for Lambeth Libraries, and they had a policy, and this, it does confirm everything that people
did
said
it
about
go
loony
over
lefty councils. Yes, appropriately for a book about childbirth, it did. The policy at Lambeth Libraries at that time was if books were overdue or if they went missing, then at least they were in the community. So they didn't pursue...
That's brilliant. I love it.
I know. It is just, you know, that's what the Tories want you to believe about Labour-led councils, but that was true of Lambeth.
And they just must know that you've had that book for, you know, so long. They would just think, the hours of pleasure that you have.
Exactly. How much does Lucy need to know about her vagina?
Really? They probably just don't want to take it away from you.
No. And I am sorry for, again, this week we've strayed into vagina territory, but then that
that's
is... I'm sorry, but it's a Jamelia kind of apology. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but I stand
also
by my
not
point.
Sorry about that at all.
I stand by my vagina.
Well, I love that Sheila Kitzinger now, after... It's a shame that we didn't discover her sooner, because we could have had her on. I could have said thank you for the sex book. You could have said thank you for the childbirth book. And your play, can you tell us anything about it?
Well, I can. I sort of wrote a short version, which I got a grant to sort of write a long version. And it's called Mother's House, and it's set in several periods in history, in my childhood home. So in a Edwardian time in the 1960s and modern day, and there might be some future stuff. And but it was sort of exploring the link between the mothers that had children at this house.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that's explained it very well. But
I think that explains it very well, and it sounds fascinating.
It's so dramatic.
Tell me when I can see it.
I'm interviewing people, which has been great. I've interviewed my mum and my mother-in-law, who was a midwife, and my next-door neighbour, who's got four children, and my best friend, who I interviewed over Skype, and she's got two children.
Love to tell their birth stories,
they
don't
do,
they?
And I didn't know any of them. It's really interesting. I'm beginning to guess what kind of experiences people had.
Oh, good. Well, I tell you what, in the next record, you can do me.
Okay.
Psychic. You can have a look at me and
you
see.
You gave me some clues, though.
I did. You're like a real psychic in that you've been gathering information.
I've just been listening.
You've actually just Googled my childbirth experience, quite possibly. That is an amazing Woman of the Week. Shall we now have a record to celebrate that, Amanda?
Let's do that. And it's going to be O Bondage Up Yours by X-Ray Specs. Here we go.
O Bondage, no more! Lucy Porter on FUBAR Radio.
I love that perfect segue from a lovely chat about natural childbirth and gentle, lovely things. That is exactly what we needed. Bondage Up Yours by X-Ray Specs. Brilliant. Polystyrene. Who I loved because she used to wear braces on her teeth. Mm. So that was a very good look for a pop star. Mm. Excellent. So now Lucy Trod and I have been chatting about various things, and I was going to pull some things back together that we've been talking about. So Lucy's, now obviously we're both called Lucy, we were talking about Great Lucy's and the fact that I'm slightly bitter about that I'm not on the list at celebritybirthdays.com. I think we both deserve to be on that. Do you have some other Lucy's that you want to talk about, Lucy?
Just when I was talking about plays, I realised there are two very prominent Lucy's in the play world at the moment. Lucy Prebble,
brilliant,
who wrote Enron, and the TV drama adaptation of Secret Diary of a Call Girl, and Lucy Kirkwood, who
She do Chimerica? No.
Tinderbox. She did a version of Hedda Gabler and a play that my friend was in at the Arcola called It Felt Empty, and it has a really long title. And Guns and Butter. I'm struggling now.
Yeah, no, that's a good. It's a good way to.
Yeah, so maybe Lucy's are playwrights and civil rights activists. And
it's a very good name to have. I'm in no way. Because Lucy Prebble Emeron is amazing.
Do you know what Lucy means?
Light.
It does.
Although I always say beautiful princess. just because why it might do, it sort of does. But yes, my mum said. I remember my mum telling me, she said, we saw you and, your eyes were so sparkling and that's why we decided to call you Lucy. And then my dad, sort of years later, just went, we thought, you were going to be Joanne, but then someone else had already taken that. So then we couldn't think what to call you, so we just went for Lucy.
Lucy Donna.
I love the way my mum's created a lovely backstory for that. Do you know why you were called Lucy?
Yes, well, I'm named after Lucy in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, but also I'm named after my two great grandmas, Lily and Lucy Lloyd, who was a Welsh lady, and Evelyn May Pressland, who was Lucy May. So there's two middle names of my great grandmas.
Very nice, Lucy May.
Yeah, there was when I googled famous Lucy's. It also brought up Lucy the Elephant. Do you know
that is?
In Margate, New Jersey, there's a six-story high giant elephant, by all accounts, which is now a National Historic Landmark as of 1976. And
one day I dream of being a National Historic Landmark.
I think we should go there. I think we should gather the world's Lucys together and we'll go to the world's greatest elephant.
Because I love elephants and I in no way mind being compared to... I remember when I was growing up, there was a sort of... I think it was they discovered a kind of missing link. So there was some ancient body in a bog And they went, oh, yeah, this is some kind of... her name was Lucy. Mm. And so it was a sort of a tiny, slightly stooped, wizened, hairy skeleton. And for some reason, people relished the fact that that you know I had the same name as the tiny, stooped, wizened thing who I've come to resemble more and more as the years go on.
Well, Lucy Elephant also is fenced off and makes child supervision easy. So I think we should take the whole family. Picnic tables are available.
Picnic tables, and, you say?
And you can go up a spiral staircase inside the elephant and there's a 360-degree view.
Where is she again?
It's in Margate, which is actually named after the Margate in England, but in New Jersey. Oh,
the inferior
the
Margate in New Jersey. Okay, let's do that.
That was brilliant.
Very good. Now, our list of things that are better about being a woman. Now, we haven't actually managed to add to that, have we? Because when I said to people, don't bother to tweet an email, I think you've very much taken me at my word there and have not bothered to do that.
It's been underwhelming, to say the least.
Yep. So I'm frankly just going to move on. I'm just going to move on from that. Because I was thinking, oh, I'll probably come up with something. I'll probably have something. I'll have a thought in the middle of the show. But have you had any thoughts?
Well, no. I mean, apart from, you know, there's a lot of talk about hair and shoes and clothes and things, which is sort of moving on to our next topic, isn't it?
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah, go on then.
I hope you're... Are you driving me towards Madonna? Is that what you're driving me towards?
I think so.
Yeah, good. So, yes, the story about Madonna. Let me just dig this out. So Madonna has a new record called Rebel Heart. Now, obviously Madonna, as referenced earlier, she was huge in my childhood because she was the voice of the 80s. And she actually, to me, was, you know, as a Catholic girl,
yes,
again,
I was gonna say
you know,
that.
This thing of who do you identify with? People called Lucy, short people, and Catholics. And I don't necessarily identify with them, but she was a lapsed Catholic in a very good way to me. I was like, oh, look, she's taken this Catholic imagery of crucifixes and sexual repression, and she has broken out of it. As I was reading my Sheila Kitzinger and discovering myself, Madonna was out there doing great things for women's sexuality publicly. But so she did something this week that I found just frankly amusing, which was that in order to promote her Rebel Heart thing, she's been putting out pictures of famous people and quotes. And
so
she's
what is Rebel Heart again? Sorry.
So I think it's her new record, is it, Amanda? I'm looking at you.
I think so, yeah. It's her new album, isn't it? Yeah.
And on social media, she's been putting out pictures of famous people and quotes. And she's already attracted a bit of controversy with this because she used an image of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And people felt that she was, A, comparing herself to a great civil rights activist. And also, she's because the image of the album is kind of her face basically wrapped up in what looked like licorice laces.
Mm.
That she's had an accident with some licorice laces and carelessly got them wrapped around her face. And so there was sort of, you know, the idea of putting black people back in bondage, essentially. So there's been all sorts of controversy. But this week, she, on Instagram, posted a quote, which is, "If you set out to be liked, you would be prepared to compromise on anything at any time and you would achieve nothing." Right, and you go, it's all right, it's an inspirational quote. But then she attributed that quote. She said, "Thank you, Margaret Thatcher! #unapologetic heart icon #rebel heart. So, and unsurprisingly, very quickly, some of Madonna's British fans said, "Hang on a minute, Thatcher, not a... you know, not universally regarded as an excellent role model or heroine, especially because Madonna having a lot of gay fans." They pointed out Thatcher's support for Section 28, which was, I remember very well, which was a sort of conservative idea about banning the promotion of homosexuality in schools and in life. And anyway, so she deleted the tweet and kind of went, "Oh God, SARS!" Had no idea. But it was, I sort of found it quite funny in a way that it's, I think it's an American thing. I do feel for her because I think Americans don't understand how we feel about Margaret Thatcher. I think they kind of go, oh, wow, first female prime minister. You guys must be so happy. You must be so proud of her. And we kind of have to go, now, listen, it's a little bit more complicated. A little bit more complicated than that. Her relationship to other women is somewhat troubled, to say the least. But, yes, I basically just found it quite amusing in a, you know, American doesn't quite get British culture kind of way. And then she did again. It's all about climb downs and apologies this week, isn't it? Because she had to basically just climb down. But it also raises quite an interesting thing about, you know, it's a decent quote. It's an inspirational quote. Does it matter that it comes from arguably one of the worst women of all time? Because I was looking, I've got some other inspirational quotes to share with you. Here we go. So if you want something spoken about, ask a man.
Can you do them in the voice of Margaret Thatcher?
Please do. I will hand that over to you.
No.
Yes. If you want something spoken about... No, that's not right. I don't know what that is.
You're not going to be able to sustain that.
That's a small boy. If you want something spoken about... Oh, that's good.
Madonna, I am so proud.
Yeah, no, you've got a bit
Douglas
Heard.
Of your rebel heart.
That's Miranda. Yes, if you want something spoken about, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. Again, Margaret Thatcher, and again, you know, it's all right, it'd be okay. The only rich person is a person who is rich in spirit. Right, it's a lovely quote. That's Imelda Marcos.
Really?
Yeah. When you have a family, you can't think like a single person anymore. There are too many little hearts to look after.
Oh, Angelina Jolie.
Katie Hopkins. Oh. And what a nice little dog. And that's the Wicked Witch of the West. In the Wizard of Oz. Just goes to show, even bad people say good things.
Quotes can be deceiving.
Sometimes. But yes, how do you feel about Madonna?
Madonna... you've got to love Desperately Seeking Susan. Might be a few.
The bit where she dried her armpits in the
I loved her in that
in
film.
Toilet.
I mean, I you know, those songs are iconic and you sing along and they're every disco you ever went to. And then there comes a point when, you know, she kept going when other people gave up, and I admired that
because
you know.
That's my show business tip. If I had a tip for anyone in show business, it's just keep going. That's been my philosophy. You've just got to keep going, because eventually
you'll
everybody
make the top
else
Lucy's
dies.
List.
Yeah. All those other Lucy's, eventually they'll either give up or die. And
no, but they're still on it. Even the dead ones, you know.
Oh,
that,
shut up! I know Lucy Stone. Lucy Stone. I was bigging her up,
Hayes.
But she's taken a place on the list.
Yeah.
That is rightfully mine. Yeah, but you know, but I do. Yeah, I absolutely. And also, she hasn't. You know, and she's constantly. Talk about a woman who gets constantly slagged off for being sexual.
Yeah, and there were all those images about how photoshopped her pictures were, and we just live in a very different age where there's no such thing as a star anymore, because they just get followed everywhere, they get pulled apart, and I think there's no. I sort of long for those days when people were mysterious. And
I don't think
you know, Marilyn Monroe would hold up very well on Twitter.
No.
Like Oscar Wilde and all his quotes and stuff, you know, it doesn't matter what your gender is, it's just...
Well, also, you have to be likeable, you know, which isn't the same thing as being nice, really. You know, you have to have a public persona that people find appealing, and Madonna doesn't, really, because she is
unapologetically ambitious. Yeah, but we think that somebody should be, you know, a politician, a voice piece for the nation, and women's rights. You know, we're asking celebrities for opinions about things that they you know, they're no more qualified than us.
Yeah. You know. And frankly, we have proved,
but
if
yeah,
anything,
she, well, I guess what you have to remember, that famous story about her going to New York with, what, you know, $100 or whatever, not even that much, I think, in her pocket, and she made it, and she is the epitome of that dream of,
well,
of just going
actually,
for it, and that spirit is to be commended, I think.
And probably quite Thatcherite, really, in that sort of, you know, she probably would have got on very well with Margaret Thatcher. It's a shame they never met. Now, that you have also...
I do feel quite sad, just to talk about Margaret Thatcher for a minute, I do feel quite sad that even when she died, whether you know, believe in anything that she stood for, the fact that she was demonised so much more than any man was.
The
horrible things and the pictures and the people just glad that she was dead. I just think that's a human being at the end of the day.
Well, I know it was like that, the film that they made before she died, that film with Meryl Streep, which again I think was that sort of American thing of them kind of going, let's just make a film about her, that'd be great. And it actually, because I was no fan of Margaret Thatcher in any way, shape or form, but it actually achieved the feat of making me feel quite sorry for her. I was like, oh yeah, come on, she's an old
same
woman.
Same as
who
the
is...
film The Queen as well. They,
Yeah.
They become a
I know, you just
Meryl
feel Streep's
quite interesting
decency.
this week. She's launched her over 40s US screenwriters programme.
Has she? I didn't know.
Which is pretty cool and epic.
Good for her. I could be on that.
Yeah. I don't know if you have to live in America, though. But
I could move. I'm happy to move. Oh, Meryl, if
but
you're listening.
There's just... It's just... You know, women's issues are just everywhere these days.
I know, but
it's a great... I think that could be on the list. It's a great time to be a woman now, now that people are realising it's okay to be a woman.
Yeah, now that we've been given permission.
Cool with that.
That brings us on, actually, to the next thing that I was going to talk about, which is red carpet questions, which, again, I think we may have touched on this at some point previous, but there's been so Scarlett Johansson was overdoing promoting that film, the Avengers film, whatever it's called.
She was in a film called Lucy, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. I've not seen it.
No, I was really hoping it's going to be one of those brilliant ones and everyone would be like, yay, Lucy. But
Well, I tell you what, we can, when we go and see Lucy the Elephant, we'll take all the Lucy's. We'll have a screening. That'll be on the plane on the way over. But Reese Witherspoon, last at the Oscars this year, had tweeted a thing on Instagram saying, isn't it sickening how women only ever get asked about their dresses, who are you wearing, and their makeup, and wouldn't it be nice if women got asked more interesting questions? And the reason this has come back up in the news again is because someone asked Scarlett Johansson yesterday if she'd noticed that the questions have improved since all these women have been saying...
Yeah, and
not?
Amy Poehler at the Golden Globes in January also, I think, was... part of that campaign.
Yes, well, the hashtag is Ask Her More. And I you know, it's a subject that I do find quite interesting, but I had never looked before at the list of questions that Reese Witherspoon suggested that women should be
right,
asked.
Go on, then.
So I'm going to ask them to you. Oh. So instead of just saying, Lucy Trod, who are you wearing? I mean, I was going to ask you, who are you wearing?
Well, this is a dress I got in Edinburgh in a vintage shop.
Very nice.
An 80s one. And it did have sleeves and I cut them off.
Oh, gosh, very good, very handy.
And then it did something to this neckline, but that's who I'm wearing.
Very nice.
Actually, I think it's M&S. I think it's St Michael's.
Oh, the lovely old St Michael's vintage. Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. Well done. And I'm wearing, I don't know, this was off a market stall in the in Elephant and Castle.
It's got hummingbirds on it.
Yes, it has. And a cardigan that's a bit too tight, it turns out. But, yeah, because I do... I mean, I have never... Well, no, I have once done a red carpet. In fact, I've done the worst thing, which is I have been the person on the red carpet asking the questions. Which I did it once as having a very small part in a film, as walking the red carpet, and no one asked me anything. And then I had to do for it. It was a film that I cannot remember the name of, but Mackenzie Crook was in it, and they were having a Leicester Square premiere of it. And I somehow got the job of being the person who is on the red carpet interviewing the people, and it was... I sort of understand now. I'm a bit more sympathetic to people who do just go, what are you wearing? How long did it take you to get ready? Because it is very hard to think of something you can shout at someone who has no interest in talking to you.
Do you say that to the men as well, then? Or,
yeah, well, I don't think I did say... I mean, I didn't say that because I wouldn't have known... You have to have some degree of knowledge, I think, about fashion.
Yeah, because what are
then
you expecting?
People say to you,
yeah, because
who
I
they're wearing,
people,
and I would have
and
no
I go,
idea.
Oh.
No, what I did was I just kept going, are you looking forward to the film? It's a lovely evening, isn't it? You look nice, you know, just it was awful. It was so.
But those are yes no answers, aren't they? I suppose they want something that's going to lead into something that you can get more out of them, I suppose.
See, with your improv background, you would have been a much better choice for that red carpet. But so I mean, it is awful, and it is, you know, and again, brilliant times we live in that people are kind of rebelling against that.
Like Sarah Millican in her BAFTA dress.
Yes,
I love that.
Yes, we love that. We love that.
But she's going to keep wearing it. I said we should all get one and just...
I know, but I do. I host quite a lot of award ceremonies for companies. And I always wear the same dress, and I'm always like, because I always feel like they put pictures up, so it's like, you know, the insurance awards 2015 or whatever that I'm doing, and they sort of put the pictures up, and then it's always exactly the same. Yeah. I have one dress that I like, and it fits me, so I think, well, why not? And it's, if you want to go online and Google image search me, you will find that dress. It's a black and gold dress from Fever, which was in the sale. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a small step, but it's a
It does fill me with dread that one day I might have to do something like that. And then I always thought I might just wear, you know, a DJ, and but then that's making another statement, isn't it? Or is it? And then I just
Then
I probably just wouldn't go.
I've got a friend who's recently made a film, and he is a man, but he was really excited about having a red carpet, and he wanted to wear a Paul Smith suit. He was like, I've got this amazing Paul Smith suit, and they're not having a red carpet for his film.
Aww.
And he's devastated. And I guess some men, you know, some men would like that. I mean, maybe
that
is a thing.
Take your own carpet, can't
I? Like breakdancing,
like
where you used
little squares,
your own,
those samples you get, you could just tuck it along
exactly
with you.
Oh, just a hall runner from IKEA. But I thought I would ask you the questions that Reese Witherspoon said, and I think going to be quite revelatory.
So whose question, sorry?
This is what Reese Witherspoon wishes that women on the red carpet would be asked instead of who you wearing. So what's the biggest risk you've taken that you feel has paid off?
Having a child.
I'm glad you think it's paid off.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's good.
It was a real leap of faith. Just, I'm never going to have enough money or enough time. Let's just see what happens. And then it happened really quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's good.
I love being a mum.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? What accomplishment...
Says me with no that away from the children.
Exactly. Yeah.
Drinking
as much as we can, because it's like a night out for me.
Yeah.
This is my
life. Like having your own booze.
Yes. Nobody gets... It's soundproof as well.
Don't you find that pressure, though, when you do go out? I've got to have fun.
Yeah.
This is costing me.
I know, it's costing me extra on top of what it costs me as well. But that's why I like to go anything where there's like a free bar or like a house party or anything. I'm like, this is brilliant, because I'm effectively just paying for itself. Yeah. What accomplishment are you most proud of? You're not allowed to say your son, although we take that as a given.
So far, I would say our radio show, just because I have no experience in it, and I feel really proud that somebody said yes and that we were allowed a lot of freedom to write it ourselves. You know, and they did try and make us have male writers, and we said no, and we stuck to our guns.
Good for you.
And I feel really proud that we've done that, and I learned a lot.
And it's got a second series.
We've got a second series,
And
we've got a good team. And I feel really proud that I'm allowed to develop my skills as a writer and a performer, and juggle that with being a mum. And I'm an accountant 2 days a week. As I was today.
Multitasking, as well.
But I do feel proud of that.
And as you bloody well should.
That someone took a punt on an unknown.
Yes. Mm. And it's done very good. The lovely Caroline Raphael.
Yes, she was very supportive.
Yeah. Well, you see, women looking out for other women, you know, not to the exclusion of men, but just to redress the balance of, you know, the injustices that have existed in the past. Now, this question from Reese Witherspoon, good luck with this one. What potential do filmmakers and characters have to make change in the world?
I think a lot. I think everyone's switched on to that right now. They just say, you know, write your script and then change one of the main parts to a woman. That's how you write a good part for a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Might not have... It's funny, even I was writing some sketches for something recently, and it was, a mixed male and female cast. And
I love when you say exes, you go...
Mixed.
Sexual.
I bet it was just because you were saying sexual earlier. But
I know, I'm like a sort of camp man from the 1970s. Yeah. I'm like Larry Grayson. a mixed cast. some of them were homosexuals as well. But anyway, let's not go into it. And I was writing a sketch and realised... Well, I'd written a few sketches and I realised that I was tending to open the sketch with a male character speaking. And thought, God, why am I... This is such a weird... And I looked back through everything I'd written and I was like, this is just something that I do by default. And I have no idea why. And now that I know I do it, then I can address it and, you know, and change it. But I have so many times read particularly sketch show scripts where you as the woman are there to provide the feed lines.
Yeah, and to be the, don't do that, boys.
Yeah,
let's all
be
sensible. I went to a read-through of some sitcoms in development recently, and all the female characters were like that. She takes a shower and then... oh, there isn't a towel, so she comes back into the room naked. You're like, that's so unnecessary to move the story forward. It's so unnecessary. You know, oh.
There's a brilliant thing on
But I think we're aware of it now, and I think people are just making changes.
Yeah.
And also
the thing is that, you know, what we don't then do is just go, oh, we'll just have naked guys in it, which is the number of TV people who've kind of gone, oh, well, that's fine, yeah, because we'll just have really young, hot, naked guys as well. And you're like, no, not the point.
List of what's good about being a woman. Someone on my Facebook put, not being a man. And I was like, that's not really, I'm saying what's good about being a woman, not like taking the negative turn. And we don't hate men, we're sort of celebrate being a woman.
Well, yes, because it is, you know, it has been a difficult thing to do. So, if you could play any character in any movie, who would it be?
Oh.
That's Reese Witherspoon's next question to you.
Ooh, in any movie.
So, any character in any movie. So, I mean, this could be an existing movie that you love and you could play one of the characters, or a movie of your own creation. And any character. It's a very broad question. Would you like me to narrow it down, or would you like to answer it in two parts? Firstly, if you could play any character in any existing movie.
Existing movie.
Who would it be? So, favourite movies and existing characters. I know. Do you want me to do mine?
Yours. There's just so many.
I would probably be talking about Fame, and this is what reminded me. Do you remember Doris?
I know everything about Fame. Yes, I remember Doris. Loved Doris, yes.
Very sort of formative influence on me.
Oh, Doris is my favourite.
The sort of little awkward one in Fame, the movie, and Fame, the TV. Probably more the TV series, actually.
The TV series,
That's, I think. Or there was a woman in Moonlighting, the 1980s television show, who was very similar to Doris.
Right.
A Doris type. That would be me.
So I've got two answers. If it was TV,
okay.
It would have to be the log lady in Twin Peaks.
Oh yes, yes.
That would be a dream.
You excited about Twin Peaks coming
excited.
Back?
Again, it's like Queen and Sheila Kitzinger for me. I discovered Twin Peaks very, very late. In fact, last year or the year before, and I watched it all. And a lot of my people who loved it from the first time around were saying, "I'm so excited to hear your updates about
it's
it."
So great. I mean, that's what's lovely is when someone you know has something that they don't know about. It's like, you know, better late than never.
I love that, and 6 Feet Under is another all-time favourite.
Yep.
So
nice.
The mother in that, but
slightly macabre women.
But in a film, I think I'd like to play. I think it's called Victor Victoria.
Oh, Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews played it, and I think there was a remake, or that was the remake. I can't remember, but just. I guess being a 6'1" woman, I've always been, oh, you can play on the basketball team. I've been treated like a man to a certain degree, and it's hard to feel like a woman. That's sort of my struggle with it. And often, you know, when I was younger, there wasn't tall, long-length clothes, and the teachers used to say, you wearing your gym kits, trod, and I'd be like, no, you can't get them this long. But now my mum makes clothes, so she could have made me some. But, it was quite traumatic being a massive teenager, because things just didn't fit me, so I often wore men's clothes. I've got size 9 feet, I still wear men's shoes, and that's hard to feel like a woman, you know. Boo-hoo me. So I guess I would like to explore that more and actually play someone. So in the film, it's a woman pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman. There's that kind of layering.
Yeah.
I think I'd be quite into drag.
There's a lot of Shakespeare that you could do that with as well, isn't there?
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
You should do more Shakespeare.
And musicals. I'd love to play Little Red Riding Hood in Into the Woods, the musical.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It's often played by a very small person.
Let's buck that casting trend, why not? And then your final... Well, we almost covered this, but the final...
That's a good question, that is.
The final Reese question is, what's your favourite TV show?
Oh, I've done that, yeah.
So we've kind of done that. Now, I have added to Reese's
list... I recently watched 30 Rock for the first time as well.
Oh, it's unbelievably good, isn't
it? It does hold up, and there's a lot of characters I love in that.
Very good.
The Kenny character's great.
He is amazing now. But I'd want to move on to my... These are my questions. So I think, woman on the red carpet, picture the scene. These are the questions that I think I would like to ask. And indeed, listeners, if you fancy texting or tweeting your own red carpet questions with the hashtag Ask Her More, because that's the official hashtag for this, then you can add your own. Mine, so Reese, over here, Reese, what's the weirdest sex dream you've ever had about someone you know in real life?
Good one.
That's a good question, isn't it?
Good one.
Do you want to
good
answer
one.
That one?
Or? I had one about a science teacher I really didn't like, and it was a bit... He just sort of breathed on me like an optician. You know,
and he breathed
so
on me
ashamed.
Like an optician.
Yeah, so ashamed about that.
Always awkward to face someone the next day, isn't it? I had a dream about my old boss. That I, and not only had I had sex with him, but I'd had his name tattooed on my chest. Okay, so Kate Blanchett, over at Kate Blanchett. Does your wee smell after you've eaten asparagus? Because apparently it doesn't. I never knew that wee smelled
yeah,
after asparagus.
Yeah, it does.
Because it doesn't happen to me. I didn't imagine it could happen to anyone.
It doesn't happen sort of straight away, and then you forget you've eaten it, and then you're like, "What's wrong with me?" Oh, asparagus.
No, never had that.
Sugar
experience.
Puffs make it smell as well.
Oh, really?
And sugar puffs makes it orange.
Smells of sugar puff.
I mean, sometimes my wee smells of sugar puffs, even when I haven't eaten sugar puffs.
Yeah. Is that weird? Mine does as well, actually.
Okay. Good. I'm glad.
Yeast infection.
We've got something there. And this relates to a discussion we were having in a previous episode, but you weren't here, so I'm going to put it to you. What's the longest you've ever left your bed sheets without changing them?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good look on your face. Yeah. That's a look that says.
It's a look
a
that
long
says.
Time. When you were younger? Or?
No. Where I live now, when someone comes to say, like, my parents or my in-laws, they have our bed and we sleep on the sofa bed. Yeah. And then sometimes I'll take the sheets off there, put them on the sofa bed, then return them because I can't wash them all quick enough. And we don't have a tumble dryer. So it's, you know, I say I'm being good for the environment, but ultimately I'm a bit gross.
Environmentally responsible and skanky. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think we've learned a lot there. And I wish that women on the red carpet would be asked more interesting questions.
Yeah, they're definitely not yes-no answers.
No, exactly. If only I'd
had
those
some good
shock-faced
photos of nothing else.
I know, the problem is they just think, like, you're a pranker, you know, like that awful man who goes and hugs people or, you know. I have no time for that. Anyway, should we have a... We're galloping towards the end.
We are,
what
actually.
I've realised is that we haven't opened the PIMS.
I know,
it's
I was thinking
hour
about doing
two
it.
Is PIMS. Should we do that now?
Oh, I've already opened mine.
Yeah, no, I handed you yours and we were chatting and we didn't have it. So we've opened the PIMS. Let's have another record to go with that, Miss Amanda.
We're going to have Express Yourself by Madonna.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, and as we enter the final 15 minutes of the show, I'm just texting the babysitter, everything's fine. So that's all good, I'm just going to carry on drinking my pants. So we, now, and Madonna, who we've talked about, I feel like we've sort of done Sounds of the 80s tonight, inadvertently, and I love, do you ever listen to Sounds of the 80s on Radio 2 with Sarah Cox?
I don't much. I'm more of a sort of folk. I listen to all the jazz and the Jamie Cullums and the
Mark Radcliffe now.
It's actually, we can say it now because we're nearly finished, but it's the Folk Awards tonight, so I'll be tuning in on the old iPlayer for that.
That's very exciting. I do love Sounds of the 80s. I recommend it highly. As it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday and it's an
in
absolute
the
treat. No, in the PM. Because it's normally when I'm driving back from a gig.
I was going to say, that's
and if
quite
I time
late.
It right... Yeah, I know. For a mother, that is very late. But if I'm driving back from a gig, I always try and time it. So I'm driving back. In fact, this Saturday... I can't remember where I am, but I will be somewhere and I'll be driving back and making sure that it's 10 till 12 so I can listen to Sarah Cox, because it's brilliant. Anyway, good. Other radio stations are available, but FUBAR is the best match. So now let's wind the show down or up or whatever by talking about what you're up to, because I'm too excited about your life at the moment.
Well, actually, mentioning the Folk Awards, last year it was at the Royal Albert Hall and I was performing in Showstopper in the small room while the Folk Awards were doing their kind of sound checks and everything in the main space.
So you got to hear all the sounds?
I got to hear them all. It was just, I was just in heaven. Honestly, that is heaven for me, dancing around the Royal Albert Hall listening to a secret sound check.
Yes.
But yes, I'm in Showstopper, the improvised musical, which will have our 8th Edinburgh.
Wow,
that's
a lot of Edinburgh.
Yeah,
but it's great. I mean, it sells out every year and it gets you get bigger and bigger venues.
Yeah, we're... I don't know if it's public yet, but we... we are in a new venue this
time. I'll have to
check the website for
updates. Wow, how exciting. Cool.
But this Saturday we're off to Singapore, and then some of them are staying on to Hong Kong, but I did that last time. We got stuck there with the ash cloud and I was pregnant, and I can't quite bring myself to go back.
That's not good memories, is it?
But it's
lovely
place. I've never been to Singapore, so I've heard mixed reviews.
I liked it. I've been to Singapore. Do you know what your venue is in Singapore?
Yes, it is the SOTA, SOTA Drama Theatre.
Oh, yes, no, that's not where I played some quite rough bar, which I was thinking that wouldn't be ideal for the
we need
a
big stage. There's quite a few of us, and we make up musicals, and we're also doing the kids version of the show, the Fantastical Story Factory,
yes,
which we did in Edinburgh last year and the year before, and we've just been at the Kingston Rose Theatre, and that's so much fun. That's just kids just have this innate knowledge of what story is, and
and more interesting suggestions.
Yeah, and there's very little structure, and it's just like having a great party, really.
Do you with the evening with the adult shows? I mean, do a lot of people just shout out filth? Is that a thing? Or
we try
so
and
much?
Sort of train them out of it, because people think it'll be hilarious to have a musical set in a toilet, and we've done that, and we make it really earnest and serious and make it a tragic love story or whatever. But there's only so many kind of Tesco's on the Moon and IKEA's toilet that you can do. Most musicals are kind of epic. You know, you look at Les Mis or Evita or Lion King, or even Carol King's Beautiful.
Can you think off the top of your head of some of the best suggestions you've ever had? Or ones that have yielded.
We did,
because
we're doing the Udderbelly on the South Bank at the moment, and we opened there on Sunday, which was my birthday. thanks. And we got Wonderground, which is actually the name of one of the spaces there. But it was a great suggestion because it was set on the underground, a kind of imaginary place.
Nice, yes.
And that was really good. Anything set in a school is usually quite fun.
Yeah, because you can draw on everybody's.
Yeah, everyone knows what that is. It's when you get things like a pickle jar or something really obscure, when you have to set up what the world is, that it becomes quite tricky.
Yeah.
When the world is already there, like a palace or an office or something, where you know what people are. But when you get into kind of secret spy territory and everyone's double-crossing everyone, it's really hard to improvise that, because it doesn't make sense that much.
And they're doing it for the expats I presume it will be largely expats in Singapore.
Yes, it was in Hong Kong, and I believe it's going to be like that.
Do they all shout out Sainsbury's, Tesco's,
Marmite, Ribena? Yeah, I think they might.
Because that was I've done now over the years quite a lot of stand-up gigs for expats, and it is the easiest laugh/ round of applause you will ever get is by mention a British thing.
Okay, good tip. Good tip.
I mean, I'm sure you know what you're doing. But yeah, so that's how long are you going for?
So it's about 10 days in Singapore, and I think the same again in Hong Kong.
So all of our listeners in Singapore and Hong Kong, please get yourselves along.
Yeah, any tips you've got for those places?
And shout out Pickle Jar or Brothel. That'd be funny.
We got a lot of brothels in the beginning.
I bet you did. Well, have you ever seen The Noise Next Door?
Yes.
Lovely group of boys who do. They sort of do improvised songs.
They do the Udderbelly as well. Yeah.
They're very, very talented, and it saddens your heart sometimes when you watch them. And every time someone shouts out, where should we set the song? In a brothel!
Now we just sort of dismiss them now. We think it's okay not to take every suggestion.
You've
got to educate them.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, and tell me what else I can see and where else I can see you.
So, just the second series of Trod On Brat Say Well Done You on Radio 4. We're recording that in July and should be airing in September. So,
if people want to get tickets for that.
Yeah, it's on SRO audiences, I believe we'll be using them again. Or go to the Trod On Brat website, which we biannually update.
Yeah, is it like mine? This is what I might read, but what I was doing 6 months ago, certainly. But
Twitter's actually the best for it, unfortunately. Yeah. It's the easiest way to tell people what we're up to.
It is. So, and what's your Twitter?
At trodonbrat.
And when we say trodonbrat, that's trod.
TRODD.
For some reason, I thought, because I think in Dutch, and is en, isn't it?
Van.
Anyway, I thought. So trodonbrat is the where to go, and we are Amanda's doing like a hand signal to me, which
I think
is
she's doing the Madonna
ten
moves.
Seconds.
10 seconds. Let's count down to. We're going to have another track from Janet Jackson. Yeah. I want to say a massive thank you to Lucy Trotter.
It's
being
been
here.
My pleasure.
Such a
being a
pleasure.
Lucy with you.
Yeah, all the Lucys together, and
let's gather them all up.
Those of you who aren't lucky enough to be Lucys, thank you for listening. We'll see you. Won't be here next week. Well, I might be here next week, but I'll be pre-recorded because I'm away. Anyway, we'll decide that.
Yeah,
so
we haven't worked out.
See you soon. Anyway.